This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go,
man. Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters, and we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, guess what? Rocket can. We thank you for being with us. It is a Trash Tuesday, so let us know what you are trashing, what's your annoyance, what is bugging you by tweeting at me, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS or on the phone at 855-212-4CBS. When we return coming up here in about 20 minutes, rather, we will discuss whether Stan Van Gundy and the Pelicans have found a new role in point guard Zion. But first, the new season of Deadliest Catches just around the corner, coming your way a week from now. Tuesday, April the 20th, 8 p.m., it'll premiere on Discovery, streaming on Discovery Plus. It's The Deadliest Catch. Joining us from The Deadliest Catch is Captain Wild Bill. Captain Wild Bill, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Doing tremendous. So glad that you decided to join us. Looking forward to Deadliest Catch. What a wonderful series. And since today is Trash Tuesday, what is your biggest annoyance when you're out there on the open seas? What bugs you most about the job?
You know, the hardest thing is to keep the guys motivated, and occasionally, you know, with the newer generation, you really got to kick them in the butt, but we do a pretty good job of keeping them moving.
You think that it's harder to motivate young people, you know, in your position nowadays than it was when you were coming up through the system?
Well, we just can't do it the old-time way. You can't slap them anymore. You know, they've got a bunch of rules and regulations. Taking away that devout motivation. You know, you can't be as rough on them as we used to be.
Did you get slapped in the face when you were growing up and trying to do this?
Oh yeah, that was. I remember the first time I mouthed off to the deck boss. He turned around and hit me in the forehead so hard I landed on the top of my head on the deck. He only had to tell me once.
What were you mouthing off about?
Oh, I was thinking I was working as hard as I could, and as always, you know, again, motivation. He thought I should be working harder.
So how do you motivate a new generation? People are dealing with this in classrooms and on playing fields. How do you motivate a younger generation nowadays?
Well, what it takes is it takes a leader on deck. It's pretty tough to motivate them from the wheelhouse. You got to have a key guy, a key individual that is self-motivated, and you kind of work through him. You know, it's like you got to have one guy that's a charger, and everybody has a tendency to try to follow along and keep up.
Wild Bill joins us this morning here on the show from the Discovery Channel's Deadliest Catch. It took you a while to work your way into the tight quota of these type of captains, and it takes a while to break into that tight-knit circle for everybody. What was it like, and how hard was it to finally kind of crack through that ceiling?
You know, it's I've been doing this longer than anybody on the show. I haven't been on the show as long as everybody else, but it's, you know, you work as a group, but in many ways you're an individual, and I'm more of an individual with this than being a group player. But most of my buddies are they're either retired or they're gone. You know, I'm old. I got some years on me.
So you were known as the wild guy, you know, and Wild Bill. And some say, well, now it's kind of Mild Bill. Do you look back at your old self and say, boy, I was way more aggressive or more crazy back then?
I think the whole world was, you know, it was pretty common to get into a couple knuckle brawls. You know, there were a lot more boats in the beginning. It was in the Derby days. And think about it. It's probably, well, it is one of the most dangerous jobs in the world. And you got a lot of tough guys that are doing it. And it took a special kind of guy to do it. So you had to stand up for yourself. And I don't know, for some reason, being a little bit of a bigger man, you always got challenged a lot by the smaller guys. So there was always that challenge going on. And, you know, who's the toughest?
So give me your breakdown of smaller guys that want to fight bigger guys. Is it sometimes surprising how tough the smaller guys are? Or if a smaller guy's trying to challenge you, are you always like, oh, man, that guy can't be too tough because he's trying to flex on me?
And it is what it is. It doesn't happen much anymore. But, yeah, the littler guys, they have something to prove. And, you know, those days are kind of gone. But, yeah, you're surprised. You know, you got to hit them a couple times to put them down.
Okay, yeah. So tell me about the culture of just bare-knuckle brawls and fights, you know, in the middle of these fishing boats and in the middle of the sea. I mean, that must have been insane.
Well, it was mostly in town, but occasionally, you know, there's always a no fighting rule on deck because you're working long hours, cold weather, no sleep, and there's always the guy that's lagging behind, and somebody usually gets picked on, and a lot of times those guys will snap. So I joke about it, but as I said, it's with the way the world is right now, you can't. It's definitely a no fighting rule. You get ejected, you're gone, you're fired if you get into a brawl. It was in the old days though. You get into a brawl in town. Next thing you know, you help the guy up and you have a beer, and sometimes becomes a lifelong friend. You know,
you ever have that happen where you got into a brawl in town and that guy ended up being your buddy?
Oh yeah, one of the other guys on the show, Harley. He and I, we went at it two or three times over the years, but we're good pals.
What's the drink of choice for fishermen when they come into port?
Usually anything they get their hands on.
Is there anything that a tough-ass fisherman captain could drink where everybody's like, oh, man, you chose that?
Well, I don't know. Every once in a while, there's one of the seltzer products. I won't use the name. I was photographed with a can of that in my hand when I was out sport fishing here in South Carolina. Uh-huh. And it was amazing how many people gave me a hard time about it.
The hard seltzer is one of those things where it's really tough to look tough when you're holding a little skinny can of hard seltzer.
Yeah, I made these coolies for cans, and I made them small enough to put it in so nobody can see what it is. So I get away with it.
Captain Wild Bill from Deadliest Catch joins us here on the show. For those that are unaware about how this lifestyle works, you said it's one of the most dangerous professions. What is the biggest risk of danger, injury, or death when you're doing this?
Well, pretty much, if you do it long enough, you're going to get hurt. It basically has a 100% injury rate. And I think the most common form of loss is icing and rolling over. I mean, we have a lot more regulations, and we keep a lot closer eye on it. But in the beginning, in the Derby days, they didn't really tell you how many pots you could put on. Now the government, you know, we have to have stability tests, and they come in and they monitor it. But it was pretty common for a boat to have a load of pots. And in the cold weather, ice builds on the pots. The top half of the boat gets heavier than the bottom, and they change places. You know, you roll over. But that is probably the biggest cause of death. And I mean, this has been a tough year. I've actually lost three guys. I lost two to addiction, which is tough. I mean, it's so hard with these guys. And another guy that worked for me last year, he got crushed by a pot this season. So I actually lost three men this year, which is really hard to take.
That's really tough. Did the guy that got crushed by the pot happen while you were at sea?
It didn't happen on my boat, but yes, it did. Yeah, he was on another boat, and he got between the pot and the launcher, and it crushed his internals, and they weren't able to keep him alive. So,
and yeah, they've got to go all the way back to shore, knowing that their crew member is passed away on the boat.
And they were so far out; it was too far for the Coast Guard to assist. Which we this season was different in a lot of ways, and we had the virus, and it made it really hard to get ready because everybody had a quarantine on the boat, and a couple of the major canneries had outbreaks where they were shut down, so it was hard to deliver. The virus really affected us all tremendously this season, and it made for a whole different game. And plus, I mean, again, there's always weather. There's always something that's going to go wrong. I think that's the surprising part about the show. You know, it's if you're in that environment, there's always going to be things that people like to see because it's one of the strangest places in the world to work.
Yeah. How long did it take you to actually get out to where you want to be fishing?
Well, this year, again, was really different. The crab were way far north. We actually were fishing right at the border between the United States and Russia. And in the past, we've fished maybe 300 miles from Dutch Harbor. This year, guys were as much as 550, 600 miles away from Dutch Harbor. And these boats, you know, they'll do 7 to 10 knots. So do the math on that. It takes forever to get to town. And then you throw a little bit of weather on it. Sometimes you can walk faster than we travel.
Wow. Is that part of the reason why addiction is an issue with the people that do this? Or is it just that this is the way the world is right now and addiction's an issue with everybody?
I think addiction is everywhere with the opioids. And we don't have problems on the boat. That's the deal. It's a zero tolerance. And guys, seems like a lot of these guys need that motivation, and they stay clean. You know, we don't have any issues with it on the boat. But when they get off the boat, I think what it is, it's such a high adrenaline industry.
Yeah.
That when these guys aren't working at that pace, they need to fill that gap. And plus, everybody's usually has a little bit of pain, you know. There's usually everybody gets banged up, so, and it's not just in the fishing fleet. I think it's worldwide with the opioids. I've always tried to help guys out, and my deck boss, he was with me for 12, 13 years, and I fought his battle with him for probably the last 10. That was really, really a tough one for me. You know, he was almost like a son to me in a lot of ways, and losing the battle was a tough one to take.
Yeah, and I would imagine your schedule also does not help because, as you said, you have this combination of adrenaline highs when you're out of the sea, and then you come back to town, and not only are you an adrenaline dump, an adrenaline low, but you also have long swaths of time where you're not back out of the boat, right? So that downtime, idle time leads to the devil's hands or whatever that saying is. That downtime probably leads to a lot of guys that might be prone to that, to have time in their hands and then some money in their pocket to go down that road, right?
Yeah, and again, when we're in town, it's busy. It's not, there's not much. We work harder sometimes in town than we do at sea, but we're a seasonal job, you know, work for 3 months or so, right, and then you're off for a couple months. And it's that off time that when they come home and, you know, they're looking to, this is my look at it. I think they just look to fill that adrenaline gap.
Sure. It makes sense. Captain Wild Bill from Deadliest Catch joins us here on the show. What's your favorite fish to fish for?
Oh, I like to catch sailfish in Costa Rica, Panama. I've got a little place in Mexico. I mean, I'm an avid sport fisherman. I live in South Carolina. I got a place in South Carolina. I live on a lake that has striper and bass, and I always have a line in the water.
You know, it's funny because when you are growing up and you're going to the Navy and you crack into, you know, fishing around the 70s or 80s, there's no celebrity in this. There's money, but there's no celebrity in this. And you don't get into fishing because you want to be famous. Maybe people do now because of this TV show. But is it weird for you to have gotten into something to almost be anonymous in some ways and now have a celebrity attached to it?
Well, it was in the beginning, it was where a lot of people went that were in trouble. They went to Alaska to hide.
Yeah.
And it was that kind of personality, you know, aggressive and not afraid of anything. And that's how a lot of guys got started in the industry. And in the beginning, the money was crazy. It was like rock star wages. And it's kind of changed now with insurance costs and fuel costs and everything else has gone up. But it was the rock star in a way in its day. You know, you'd come home with, you know, just $100,000 for a 2-week season, you know, and it was unbelievable, and it was cash, and, you know, it was wine, women, and song, and the rest of it you wasted for a lot of years.
Wait a second. You're telling me in the 70s or the 80s, after a 2-week tour, you're coming back with 100K cash?
There were definitely seasons like that. I had a king crab that was 7.5 days, and my take was $89,000. And you just end up with a check. I mean, there's a little bit of time before and after, but the actual fishing time was a week. So we might have been there 3 weeks for the whole thing. But, and you know, I bought my first house for $55,000, paid cash, and it was a pretty exciting lifestyle.
Man, and so you're buying your first house at $55,000 cash, and probably the real estate broker's like, are you a drug dealer? Why do you suddenly have $55,000 cash? You're like, no, I'm a fisherman.
Yeah, well, around the Northwest, it was pretty, you know, everybody. In the beginning, in the Northwest, if you told some of your crab fishermen, they'd spit on the ground and say, stay away from my daughter. And that was the TV show. They're introducing it as their daughter.
Captain Wild Bill joining us from Discovery Channel. The new season of Deadliest Catch debuts, premieres, comes up a week from today at 8 p.m. Also, you can check it on Discovery Plus for streaming options. Captain Wild Bill, this was a lot of fun, man. Good luck with the season. I'm looking forward to it.
Appreciate you. It's full of a lot of highs and lows this year, so definitely worth a watch.
Excellent. Thanks, Wild Bill. Captain Wild Bill from Deadliest Catch joining us. Boy, you know, we do so much sports here and talk to so many journalists and athletes and coaches that you kind of get locked into the box of just talking sports. And then, do you remember last year during pandemic, there was no sports being played, so we had on a bunch of fishermen, a bunch of anglers from the Pro Bass Tour, and that was so much fun, actually, Major League Fishing. I used to call it MILF, and they were so great because you could talk to them about anything. Race car drivers are like this as well. You could talk to them about anything. And Wild Bill, like, who knew that we were going to have Wild Bill on today from Discovery Channel start talking about addiction? But, and who knew that in 1980, you could come back after a king crab run after 2 or 3 weeks of fishing and have $100,000 cash in your pocket to go buy a house for half that? That's amazing. That is amazing. When we come back, Stan Van Gundy might have found something that would have never seemed likely a couple of years ago, but now might seem like you got to do it. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Mornings on CBS Sports Radio.
Everybody's laughing like, aha, fat so got hit in the head.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
That is kind of funny. Remember to watch the show at watchda.com. That's mobile friendly. You can also watch us on Twitch every single morning and chat alongside other D-Aliens. Check us out on both mobile at watchda.com or on desktop there. Or checking us out on the Twitch side of things as well. Hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Jack tweets, this is why this show is the best. I love Deadliest Catch. As a longtime sailor for over 8 years, 2 years of sea time, you can't get this anywhere else. Thanks, guys. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was really cool. Mr. Clean tweets, I'm trashing the idiot driver this morning who almost rear-ended me at 5 a.m. and the only other car on the road. Learn to drive, buddy. Trash Tuesday.
Illegal dumping.
Max tweets, I'm trashing DA for not responding to my emails. I'm joking, but I would like to hear back from you. Hashtag, beam me up, DA.
Warning, hazardous material.
Sorry, Max. Try to get to my inbox a little bit quicker. Jeremy tweets, quit bashing the pro wrestling community, Miraz. If you don't understand it, that is fine. going on and on about bashing the fans that enjoy it just shows you don't know anything about the business. Trash Mraz.
Illegal dumping.
Mraz's trash today was a couple of guys that were in the bagel place over the weekend with old wrestling shirts on discussing WrestleMania like it was a big game straight ahead. Ugh. Right, Mraz? So yeah. Jeremy says you don't know anything about the business, so stay out of it.
I love that I don't know anything about the business. I was a wrestling fan and got out when everybody else did, when you realize Monday Night Football's on the same time as Monday Night Raw. That's when you get out. What don't I understand? That it's not scripted? Come on.
Senor Pantleg tweets, I'm following up on yesterday and trashing grandparents self-glossing themselves with dumb nicknames. My kid's grandma and great-grandma are in a feud about who has the rights to Gigi. I told my kids they could just call them Michelle and Charlotte and not bother. So trash them.
Charlie Sheen just dumped that on the set of Men at Work.
Did you consider Gigi at all?
There is a Gigi that's Danielle's grandmother. So that she got later picks in the draft. Like she won the Super Bowl, she was at the end of the line for picking names. She ended up with Gigi.
What's the Gigi stand for?
It's news to me, DA. I have no idea, but apparently this is also a grandma name. I have no idea what Gigi stands for.
Yeah, in my family, it stands for great grandma, Gigi. Ah, Gigi. Okay.
Oh,
great grandma. I never had one of those, so we don't live long enough to get those greats around here.
Yeah, I know I certainly won't.
Welcome aboard, Peyton.
Dad won't be around much longer.
Enjoy me while you can.
If Joe Judge turns out to be the next Bill Parcells, Daddy won't be around much longer. If he turns out to be the next Pat Shermer, also won't be around much longer. Mraz announced yesterday on social media and this morning on the show that he is having another little girl. There is going to be two Mraz daughters, and they're going to stop at two. So Mraz will never have the son that he always wanted to sit on his lap and to watch football, but Taylor's amazing, and I'm sure that Peyton will be amazing as well. But the question is, how did you take this news yesterday when Danielle finally broke it about the gender?
It's one of those you'd like to have back. The doctor, I guess, told us on the phone, and Danielle saw the sinking feeling on my face. I am not going to lie. I will be honest with the audience and honest with you guys. I started to cry. I actually started to cry.
So this was like when Danielle started to cry when she realized, quote, how hideous you had become.
Yeah. Yes, and it was very quickly, you could tell the difference between very happy emotional tears and very devastated tears, and it wasn't a good scene for me, not at all. I was told I don't have the right attitude about this, and my point being was just, I really believed this was going to be a son, and I think there's something there when a dad has his hopes up for his son, and you don't get the son, and it doesn't mean I'm not going to love my kid any less, but yeah, I was devastated. I needed to walk for a little bit, take a walk in the rain, and just be okay.
Yeah, I can't see you loving Peyton any less, even though you cried at understanding when you learned she was going to be a girl.
I already got a daughter. Can I just split the difference and have a son and a daughter? Look.
Well, this is what is amazing, is that you were carrying the burden of the last name. You have two sisters. You're the only son. Now, Marash Mraz dies at you. It's over.
Yes, that's part of the devastation. And not that I had a great name anyway. I mean, what's the lineage I'm passing on? I like to eat too many Egg McMuffins. I mean, what exactly am I passing on anyway? But yes, and then you throw an effect. I mean, that's two prom dresses. That's two weddings. That's two wedding. I mean, it's financially, this is going to be a big burden going forward, too. So it's just, look, I'm happy, healthy child, the whole thing, but there was some devastation on my face, and this is exactly why I warn all guys out there, no gender reveals. I didn't do a gender reveal, and had I done one, you know, the puff of pink smoke would have been going everywhere, and you would have saw tears on my face, and it would have lived on YouTube forever, and thankfully I don't have to really, you know, live with that. We can bury these tapes on the DA show. My daughter will never know I wanted a boy.
Truly a Gordon Hayward, daddy's always happy situation.
Devastation.
Daddy's always happy.
That was a gender reveal for Gordon Hayward, and he saw the pink smoke or the pink whatever, and he goes, oh, it's a girl.
Whoa, it's a girl.
And then his wife is like, are you happy? And he's like, daddy's always happy.
It's It's a no-win situation. You're such a terrible person if you're upset, but it's an honest feeling. You know, you want a son to pal around with.
Bogues had a daughter and then got his son at the second at-bat. And then Pete has Timmy. So right now, both guys on the show that have kids, they hit it out of the park.
Well, good for them. I hope they enjoy a lifetime of Little League. I'm ready for my next dance for some.
Timmy will be wearing wrestling shirts.
They can play Little League.
Oh,
they
she's
can
playing.
Play Little League. They can play softball. They can play
Monet
soccer.
Davis.
Oh,
yeah.
She's playing all that. And she's playing, as I told you, playing basketball. There's no doubt about it. I already got the ball in her hand. She's learning how to dribble. We're getting UConn scholarships here, folks. It's just, you know what I mean. It's just the principle of it. I don't know.
She could be the place kicker at Vanderbilt.
Let's go! Look, I'm a proud girl, Dad. Don't get me wrong. Don't put me in the wrong corner. I'm a proud girl, Dad. I just wanted a son.
I'm a proud girl, Dad. Except I cried when I learned that my daughter was a daughter.
Because I already had. I wanted a girl. I already had a girl. I wanted both.
I believe the word
I
was devastation.
Everything. Yeah. Get myself into trouble here more.
I just love that in the span of 2 weeks, Danielle turned to you with tears welling in her eyes and said, quote, I can't believe how hideous you've become. And then you turned around 2 weeks later and had tears welling in your eyes when you were told you were having a daughter instead of a son.
I understand the hypocrisy. Now, also, it should be known, the emotions of calling me hideous and being upset, and, oh, by the way, the can't see the keys in front of her face hanging on the key rack. Now, if anybody's been following the breadcrumbs of the show, this is all while she's been pregnant, so the emotions and everything have been there. Now that makes a little more sense. But I think my tears are far more value. You don't call your husband hideous, but you can cry if you find out you're having another girl and you already have one.
Well, I will say, I don't know if you do this intentionally or not, but boy, you are great content. I mean, because now we have a lifetime of your resentment of Peyton being a girl.
This
will never not be a storyline that you will always resent that you didn't have a son.
D.A., I mean, look, I love my wife, but if these two daughters I have any half of her attitude at times, I mean, what am I going to live with here? This house is a nightmare.
Marez surrounded by only girls and one grade apart. Oh, in high school, this is going to be amazing.
No, it's not.
A senior and a junior and a sophomore, one grade apart in high school. Oh, my God.
Fight. Oh,
they're
going to
be the Marez sisters. They're going to have a reputation.
The competition, the cattiness, the fighting.
Same
the
boys
fighting,
involved in this?
The fighting over boys, the fighting over friends, the fighting over social media, the fighting over dresses. Who's going to wear what to this event? Who's going to wear what to this event? Oh, who? We can't wear the same thing to school today. Dad can't bring us both to the same thing. I'm going here. You can't go. Oh, it's just, it's a lifetime of this.
I know. And the only time I'm really going to enjoy it is when I'm so old that I'm happy I have daughters to take care of me. But so what? I got to fast forward the next 40 years to get to the point I'm enjoying it. That's not good either.
And who knows? As you just said, you might not last 40 years.
Exactly. I'm supposed to lose 100 before a second birthday or this next kid's first birthday. I'm just going to keep packing on the pounds out of stress.
Oh, man, it is great. It is really good eating. This is just a year apart, your life is never going to be easy. A grade apart, it'll never be easy.
No. And also, how about the early goings? How am I supposed to sleep doing morning radio and having two kids, two daughters, you know, in that age? Nobody's sleeping in this house. It's going to be a nightmare.
And I know the dynamic between you and your siblings and then your dad and his siblings. While there is certainly a love and a bond, you guys get after one another. You will scream and fight and claw, and there can be a scuffle out in the yard before a big event. I mean, sibling rivalries in your family is a real thing.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Danielle and her brother only get along great now because he moved to North Carolina, so it's on both sides.
Works out.
Oh, man. It's just... the hits keep on coming. Boy, do they.
Oh, boy, do they. Daddy's always happy.
And she's named after Sean Payton, just to cap it all off.
Great offense in 2000.
Danielle said
my favorite Giants offense.
The boy names were lined up. It was great. I had 15 of them to choose from. Girl, we had to go with Peyton.
Oh, you didn't want please to name her... tell us the boys' names.
I mean, they're obvious. Derek, Henrik, Tuck, O.C., Tyree.
Oh, my God. I take it back. This didn't break our way. You could have had Henrik or O.C. Mraz.
Or Tuck Mraz.
Those were all the list.
I was going to say Pepper Johnson as a joke, but that might have been the next one out of your mouth. Pepper Mraz.
I was going to joke that you were going to name your kid Ron Dixon, but now the other stuff that you brought up was actually better.
They were all on list. It was, I think Tuck
Amani
was going to win.
Amani Mraz.
Tuck
O.C. O.C. Mraz. Middle name Human Yora.
Yeah, we're having a third kid. We'll talk to Danielle.
Ron Dane Mraz.
We need a boy involved in this.
You might as well just name Peyton that anyway. You wanted the boy. Here's my four-year-old daughter, O.C. Human Yora Mraz.
Jason Pierre Mraz.
The girl name I wanted originally before Taylor was Sabathia. That got voted down.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Where was Higagasha in all of this?
Higagasha.
Giancarlo.
Higgy Mraz.
Peyton Tanaka Mraz.
Sterling Susan Mraz.
O.C. O.C.
That was a
oh my
short
God.
List.
I can't believe you pitched nice O.C. name. To your... O.C.
Danielle did tell me, quote, that's a dog's name. I said, no, it's not.
Here's my daughter, O.C.
Here's my anything named O.C. Like, really?
It's a nice name. It's beautiful.
My dog's name is Eli. My daughter's name is O.C. Oh, God, would she have hated your guts. Oh, my God, would she have hated your guts.
You might already.
I'm named after a pass rusher on the 2011 Giants, Dad.
Yeah, is that your favorite Giants defense? Because we had Spags Mraz.
Look, I don't think there's anyone those are nice names. Again, O.C. wasn't the leader. I think Henrik, Derek, and Tuck were all ahead of it.
Wasn't the Henrik. Leader is not good enough. It should not have been under consideration, O.C. Mraz. Come on.
Henrik.
These are nice names.
Middle name, King.
Henrik Callahan Mraz.
Oh. Oh, man. Oh. Well, I blew through two stories I wanted to do today just because this stuff was so good. So Stan Van Gundy wants to use Zion at the point. That seems amazing because he's huge and he's fast. And that's crazy. And that's going to be my take. And then the Bucks signed Gio Bernard. How do they find the money for that? That seems pretty crazy. And that's my take. And there you go. That's all I got on this because we ate up all the time on Mraz naming his daughter O.C. So... Mraz wanted to name his daughter Jeffrey Mayer Mraz. What, Danielle? Start of a dynasty. And Bob was like, I don't know. Nancy, I like it. I think it'll work. Nancy, I don't see what's wrong with O.C. I don't see.
Suddenly Peyton seems pretty perfect, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does. Peyton is the most actually logical and civil thing that you could have named your daughter.
What, you don't like Graham Lloyd Mraz?
Maybe I'll have a son later on in life. I'll name him John Fox Mraz. I don't know.
Go with Jorge for your favorite author, the lone book you've ever read.
Named her Peyton after his favorite Giants offense. Like, he had a list. Here's the 25 Giants offenses over my lifetime that I've come to grow in love. Number one, 2000, offensive coordinator Sean Payton. Honey, what do you think about Sean Payton Mraz? Well, it was my favorite offense, of course. Not my favorite team, just my favorite offense.
Wasn't the Jason Garrett offense?
Peyton Armstead Mraz.
That's not bad, actually. Maybe we'll switch the middle name.
Oh, boy. Bogues has our headlines, final headlines of the morning. What do we got?
Fingers crossed in Denver. Nuggets guard Jamal Murray hurt his left knee driving to the hoop in the final minute of last night's 116-107 loss at the Warriors. Murray screaming, slapping the court in pain, and his head coach Michael Malone says he was just back from right knee troubles.
He just came back. You know, he was gone for 4 days. His knee's been bothering him. He took those 4 games to try to get right. First game back, obviously, it's just an awful feeling.
Further evaluation today, obviously. As for the game, the Warriors won it. 53 points from Steph Curry. Early in that effort, he passed Wilt Chamberlain on the Warriors' all-time scoring list. The Suns and Rockets combined for 42 threes, one shy of the single-game record. Phoenix winning 126-120. The Wizards won in Utah 125-121, ending the Jazz' 24-game home winning streak. The Pelicans held off the Kings 117-110. The Knicks took care of the Lakers 111-96. The Spurs dumped the Magic 120-97. And Philly won in Dallas 113-95. Joel Embiid with 36 points. Will Myers had the big night for the Padres in Pittsburgh.
Pitch to Myers, hit well out to straightaway center field and deep. Going back, Fowler, looking up, gonna go into the topiary at PNC Park. Will Myers, an RBI single in the first, now a two-run homer in the sixth, his third of the season, and the Padres take a 3-1 lead.
That is Jesse Agler on Padres Radio. Myers with that homer, 5 RBI in a 6-2 decision over the Pirates. Oakland a 9-5 win in Arizona, and the Brewers beat the Cubs 6-3. Milwaukee's won 5 of 6. Chicago has lost 5 of 6. The Tigers won A.J. Hinch's return to Houston 6-2. Shohei Ohtani 3 RBI in the Angels' 10-3 win in KC, and the Yankees beat the Jays 3-1. As we've been discussing all morning, Julian Edelman is retiring after 12 NFL seasons. He is second all-time in postseason catches and second in Pats history in receptions. Edelman only played 6 games last season and was unlikely to play a full season this fall because of a nagging knee injury. Jadeveon Clowney will now visit the Browns tomorrow at a 1-year deal, reportedly likely. He was supposed to be in Cleveland yesterday but had travel issues. Former North Carolina center Walker Kessler is transferring to Auburn. And in the NHL last night, the Avalanche beat the Coyotes 4-2. They've won 8 of 9. The Leafs' 6-game win streak ends in Montreal 4-2, and Detroit beat Carolina 3-1. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. When we come back, advanced analytics behind Julian Edelman's career and your epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the mothership's advanced analytics.
Are Patriots fans crazy for assuming Julian Edelman will be in the Hall of Fame one day? 74% of you say yes. 74% say yes. You people are crazy. Edelman was a good player, but not a Hall of Famer. Some fun facts for Pats fans. The Bears scored 21 third quarter points in their Super Bowl 20 romp over the Patriots. The Patriots had the number one pick of the 82 draft. They took defensive end Kenneth Sims. That draft had Marcus Allen, Andre Tippett, who they eventually got, Jim McMahon and Mike Munchak all in it. And the Pats have never defeated the Giants in the Super Bowl. That is your advanced analytics. Speaking of a former Patriot, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had signed Gio Bernard yesterday, which is interesting because they do still have Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette as well. So they're tripling down on veteran running backs, although Fournette's relatively young. But Gio didn't have a lot of football maybe left in him, but a good change of pace back, had a decent career in Cincinnati. They just keep adding veteran pieces on the cheap. I wonder if this deal is also a really inexpensive one for the Buccaneers, but it's kind of a classic Bucs thing now, is to get cheap veteran pieces to just kind of slide around the perimeter of this roster, and it'll be Leonard Fournette, Ronald Jones, and also Gio Bernard. So a good fit, I think, even though Bernard has not cracked 500 yards in a season in well over 5 years, but he's also 30 years old. Who knows? Probably be limited snaps, but enough to get him at least interested in joining. Apparently the Chiefs were also interested in him as well. Also, that Pelican story is interesting because can you imagine somebody as big as Zion Williamson running point? Stan Van Gundy, after 2 explosive games for Zion, who's turning into one of the best players in basketball. This guy is 6'7". He can dunk like a freight train, obviously. Runs like the wind. And on Sunday, in a win over the Cavaliers, had 38, 9, and 4 assists. That followed up his Friday night performance against the Sixers, which was 37, 15, and 8. So Zion had 37, 15, and 8, followed up by 38, 9, and 4. 12 of 6 assists in those two games. And Van Gundy says, I could see him running the point for us. I think that is where his future is in this game. And I just think it's an amazing compliment to Zion that he's not just a dunker, but that he's also so good with the ball, bringing it up the floor, that his head coach could think, man, he could be our point guard. And think about how athletic and huge and ferocious he is. He's averaging 26, 7, and 4 assists per game from the field this year. I mean, talk about a guy that has made a very quick leap into being a dominant force is Zion, who's just doing things that nobody can do at his size. Nobody has ever done. I mean, could you imagine Charles Barkley running the point back in the day? But that's kind of what they're asking him to do, and understandably so, because he's that talented. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning as we get the news that Netflix and Adam Sandler's films are producing a movie about Sean Payton's life the year he was suspended from the NFL and had to coach his sixth grade son's football team. Here's your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I don't think Happy Madison Productions with Kevin James is the right production team to make this movie, right? Like, we are expecting, well, who's going to be Sean Payton's wife? Is Jennifer Aniston or Drew Barrymore? They're going to parachute in like every Adam Sandler movie. Rob Schneider, do it again! You know, we're going to have that whole thing going on in the movie.
You can do it! You can do it all night long!
We've done this. I mean, we've had The Waterboy, we've had The Longest Yard, we get the Adam Sandler football movie bit, and this is not going to be any different, where if another Universal or somebody made this movie, I think it makes for a better story.
So you can totally see where this thing goes, where absolutely Rob Schneider is the rambunctious fan in the stands, like an overprotective dad or something.
Johnny McEnroe! Oh, look at DJ hanging out with McEnroe! That's awesome!
I love the Beach Boys.
And he's yelling from the stands about this sixth grade football team. And Peter Dante, who's in all of Adam Sandler's films in some way, shape, or form, he is going to end up being like the coach of the opposing team that they have to meet up with in the championship, that's like their antagonist. And you just see all of the same roles that are coming through.
This is the best day of my life!
Shaq and Dan Patrick will be the refs. There's no doubt about it. David Spade running the defense.
Right, yes. David Spade is like the aging womanizer that hasn't ever been married, that's still hitting on like kids' moms throughout the entire season. Steve Buscemi is the groundskeeper, right? The crazy groundskeeper that crazy eye that's rooting for the little...
I'm doing a one-nighter for biting Ed the Mailman. Guy was trying to cast a spell on me, you know, like a wizard or something.
Warriors to do it.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Let us welcome a brand new CBS Sports Radio affiliate in Wichita, the legendary KFH, 1240 AM and 97.5 FM. They are carrying the DA show and CBS Sports Radio throughout the day. They're carrying all 4 hours. So locally in Wichita, we are going to be on 5 to 9 a.m. Central Time each and every morning, Monday through Friday. Gotta love it. They also carry Kansas City Royals baseball. We are looking forward to having them as part of the CBS Sports Radio family. Love being back out in the mighty Midwest. Hopefully trying to get back out there perhaps sometime soon to visit some friends and family in the Kansas City area. Wichita, welcome to the DA Show's experience each and every morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific. That'll wrap things up for a Target Demo Friday this morning, everybody. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show and CBS Sports Radio's newest father of two girls. Also, thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel and audio director. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. Join us tomorrow morning, won't you? Kevin Harvick's going to drop on by. The Mothership disconnects.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.